Okay, good morning. Today's daf is the final daf in this perek, No Till Adam Es Bino. We were on Kuf Mem Beis, Amud Beis. The last thing we saw was that if you had a mukta item in a spot where there was a danger to the item, so even though normally you're not allowed to move a mukta item, you could put a baby or a loaf of bread on top of the item and then be able to move it. So let's start again at the two dots here. On Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis. It's the third wide line. Amar Rav Boshaya, Rav Boshaya said, I'm sorry, Amar Rav. It's not the third wide line. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The eighth wide line. Amar Rav Boshaya, Rav Boshaya said at the two dots. Shachach arnaki b'chatzer. If a person forgot a wallet in the courtyard, so even though the courtyard's a private domain, the house is a private domain, we're assuming that there's an eruv chatzeros allowing you to carry from the house to the courtyard, from the courtyard to the house. But if you leave the wallet out in the courtyard, so it can rain and get ruined. So there's a possibility of loss. Maniach alei kikar, he puts on the wallet a loaf, otinok, or a baby. And then a metaltala. Then you can carry it into the house because the rabbi has created a leniency. Again, muktzah is only rabbinic, but makom hefseid, where there's a major loss, they meet a leniency, sort of a way out of the laws of Muktzah. Similarly, Amar Rav Yitzchak said, Shachach Levena Bechatzer. Person forgets a cinder block in the courtyard. Again, there's a fear, it's going to rain, the cinder block will be ruined, it'll be a major loss. So then, Maniach Alei HaKikar, you can put a loaf on the cinder block, Otinok or a baby, U'metaltala, and he can carry it that way. I'm reviewing the Bar Shila story. I'm Rabasi, the name of Rabasi, Pa'amacha Shachu Diskiya Malaya Mos Besratya. One time they forgot this big leather satchel filled with coins in the public thoroughfare. Ubo v'shalos Rabbi Yochanan. So they came and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, is there any way that we could get it out of the street so that it won't be stolen, won't be ruined by the rain? Amalani said, yeah, it's Muktzah. There's a leniency. Hanicho le akikar otinok. Put on it a loaf or a baby, the tiltalua, and then you can carry it. Amar Marzutra, Marzutra said, the laws, like all of these stories, about saving a bag filled with coins, saving a wallet, when somebody forgot it in a spot where it's where there's a danger of a financial loss. But if he deliberately put it in that spot, then he doesn't have any permission to move it by merely putting a baby or a loaf on it. Rav Ashi said, "Afilu shocheach nami lo." Even if he forgot something in these locations, he's not allowed to move them by putting a loaf or a baby on them. Lo amru kikar otinok, this leniency that you can put a loaf or a baby on a muktzah item and then you're allowed to move it, that's el lemeis bilvad. That's only when you have the major motivation of human dignity. If you have a dead body that dies in Shabbos or Yom Tov, and it's outside, and it's decomposing, so the disgrace to a human being is disgrace to the image of God that's on the human being. So there, they allowed to put a loaf, and then by putting a loaf to move the dead body. Like we found with David HaMelech, he died, they put a loaf on him, they could then move it. But otherwise, to move muktzah for the sake of hefseid mamon, to save money, they didn't create this leniency of kikar or tinok. Yeah, David, a question. So David's asking, what's the logic that putting a loaf or a baby would enable you to move the muktzah item? The logic is that the whole law of muktzah is rabbinic. Many times when the Rabbanan made laws, they had carve-outs for financial loss, for pain, tsar, agmat nefesh. So here too, this was one of those who permitted, say this is a carve-out. If there's muktzah, because a person forgot, he forgot something out in the street, now he's going to face a big loss. They said, we didn't make the law of muktzah in this case. Put the loaf on it. It's as if you're carrying the loaf and not just this. And then you'd be able to carry it. So now, we're going to learn about Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava were students of Rav Yosef. So they once had similar scenarios. Abaye, manach kapa akipi. Abaye had stalks that had been cut. I guess they had been put out of, you know, put away. Weren't planning to use them. It looked like that. Then he wanted to move the stalks from place to place. So he put a spoon on them. By putting on the spoon, he then was able to move them. Rava manach sakina bar yona. Rava had this little pigeon that had been slaughtered before Shabbos. He put a knife on it, and then he was able to move the dead pigeon. Umetzalkot, then he carried it. Amar Rav Yosef, their teacher, said to them, Kama charif v'shmaitza the dardaki. So he was very cynical. He said, oh, how sharp are these young people? You know, their Torah learning is very sharp. In other words, what they did was wrong. But they think that this is a way to move muktzah? Rav Yosef felt you're not allowed to move muktzah in these situations just by putting a utensil on them. Why? Why was Rav Yosef so critical? Because Rabbanan said their leniency when the muktzah was forgotten in a spot. But this is not a situation of these muktzah items being forgotten. You have muktzah. You have some muktzah. Now you're going to be able to move it? They never say that leniency. Amar Abaye defended himself. He said, Ilav adam chashavana. If not for the fact that I'm very prominent, I'm a Torah scholar, people look at me, they say, oh, if Abaye can do it, I can do it. So I went beyond the letter of the law. I didn't really have to do this. Kappa, keep a lemeli. I wouldn't even have put the spoon there if not for the fact that I'm a Torah scholar. Why? Because it's not even muktzah. I put a spoon on top of a bunch of cutting, you know, of some sheaves that I cut down of grain. Achazal mizgalayu. I was intending to sleep on those things. And if you're going to sleep on something, you're going to sleep on hay, the hay is not muktzah. It's now klisha malachto leheter. It wasn't even muktzah in the first place. I put on the spoon so that people would think if it would be muktzah, you can only move it in these ways. But really, it was totally permitted. Amar Rav, Rav also defended himself. He said, if not for the fact that I'm a prominent Torah scholar, sakina bar yona lemeli, I wouldn't even have to have put the knife on top of this cut pigeon. It's not even muktzah for me. Achazli lomtzah. I like to eat raw meat. And I would eat the raw meat. I like steak tartare. It was not muktzah even for me. But I did it because I'm a Torah scholar. Don't think that I move muktzah. Even if you would think it's muktzah, I'm moving a knife. I'm not really moving this. But really, I could have done it without even the knife. Says the Gemara, time of the Chazil Umtzah. The only reason why it wasn't muktzah for Rava is because he likes to eat meat that's raw. He would eat the steak tartare of the little pigeon. Halo chazil umtza. But if he wouldn't have been somebody who would eat these things, and this wouldn't be something that people would eat. Lo, then not. The name of the Rav Kribi Yehuda Sfirle. Does that mean that Rav holds a Kribi Yehuda who's strict in regards to the laws of muktza? Amar Rav Lashame, don't we know that Rav once told his attendant, Tzvili bar avza v'shadim me'ai l'shunra. He once said to his attendant on Yom Tov, roast for me the cut pigeon and take the intestines and throw the intestines to the cat. Now, the intestines should be muktzah. if you're not going to eat it, it should be muktza. What do you mean, klor to the cat? Apparently the idea is, since it would be edible for the cat, even though most people don't give the intestines to the cats, most people clean them up, they make kishka out of them, but still, you could give it to a cat. Therefore, it's not muktza, because you can give it to a cat, even though you're not intending to eat it. So that type of logic is not the Rabbi Yehuda logic. That's the Rabbi Shimon logic. So if there is a usage, it's not muktza because of that usage. You see that Rava holds a Rabbi Shimon logic, not a Rabbi Yehuda logic. This is the Gemara. Hasam, there where Rava said to throw it to the cat, was because he was dealing with intestines. Came into Misrach, since intestines, if you wait with them, they spoil. Daiti Yiluvei. He was always thinking to give it to a cat. But generally, when you have things that many people wouldn't give to a cat, even though it could be given to a cat, Rava would hold like Rabbi Yehuda that it would be muktza if you didn't have intention to give it to a cat. But here, we're talking about intestines, came into Misrach, since they rot, Daiti Yiluvei Me'esmo. Says the Gemara, all right, this works. Achanami mistabra the Rava Krib Yehuda Svirle. It makes sense to say that Rava holds the Krib Yehuda. He's very strict in regards to Muktza. Gedarash Rava. Rava taught the following. Again, according to Krib Yehuda, who's very strict in regards to Muktza, if you have an item that's not Muktza, you can only move it for its normative use. You can't move it for another use that's also permitted. So let's say Yom Tov. And on Yom Tov, you're allowed to fuel a fire. So if you have logs of wood, they're not muktza, because you're going to use them for your fire. According to Yehuda, though, you couldn't use them for something other than a fire. You couldn't use them as toothpicks. Because since it's there for fire, you can only use it for fire. You can't use it as toothpicks, because he's strict on muktza. Rabbi Shimon says, well, if it's not muktza, because you can use it for fire on Yom Tov, you can use it for toothpicks too. So we see Rava said, Isha lo tikanes lebesa eitzim. A woman on Yom Tov should not enter the storage area where they store the logs. Lito men ud, to take off of a log, one twig, to stir the fire with the twig. Because the logs are there to fuel the fire, not to be used to stir the fire. So Rava says, a woman shouldn't go in to take a twig. That means he's like Rabbi Yehuda, that if it has one use, that's its use, and it's muktzah to the other uses. Ud shenishbar, another law that Rava said, again like Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a twig, now the twig is not muktzah, because you're going to use it to stir the fire. So if you have a twig, then it breaks. Now once it breaks, you can't use it to stir the fire. Now you can only use it to fuel the fire. But it has now a different use from the use that it had at the beginning of Yom Tov. Asur la'asiko b'Yom Tov. You can't throw it into the fire to fuel the fire with the broken twig. Because according to this view of Rava, ma'asikin b'kelim, you could take a utensil and throw it into a fire. In ma'asikin b'shivrei kelim, but a broken utensil, you can't throw into a fire. Because the broken utensil broke on Yom Tov is nolad. It's a new use now, new item. New item is now muktzah. Now who's so strict with muktzah? That's Rav Yehuda. So you see Rava saying like Rav Yehuda. So you see that Rava, in fact, paskins like Rav Yehuda, Shema Mina. And that's why the story works. And in the story, Rava said, the reason why the raw baby pigeon wasn't muktzah is because he would eat it as steak tartare. And it wasn't that, oh, it's not muktzah because some animal would eat it. No, he also gave Yehuda. What is normally human feed can only be non-muktzah if it's going to be used by people. The fact that there is an alternate use, animals would take it, that's not enough to make it non-muktzah unless somebody specified, I'm going to plan it to go for the animals. But bottom line is, going back to the story, that we had seen that there was this idea that you could actually move muktzah items when there is a need to save them from loss by putting something on them. There's a whole question whether we pass them that way or not. In terms of Abaye and Rava, they really weren't relying on that leniency. The things that they moved by putting utensils on them really weren't muktzah for their own reasons. You know, Abaye's hay wasn't muktzah because Abaye wanted to sleep on it. And Rava's pigeon wasn't muktzah because Rava likes steak tartare. Is he a question? So Izzy asks, why did it say here a woman shouldn't enter into the storage area for the wood? A man could, a man also can't. The point is that women normally, it's one of their jobs as the people taking care of mili debeta. The Rambam tells us that if there's a fight between a husband and a wife, husband wants one yeshiva, the wife wants a different yeshiva. Husband wants big house, wife wants smaller house. So the Rambam says, if there's a fight about mili debeta, the matters of the house, wife has to win. The wife wants a bigger house, the wife wants a nicer car, husband has to spend money on those things. If there's a fight about mili deshmaya, about matters of heaven, which yeshiva to send the kids, then husband wins. That's what the Rambam says. So the wife normally in those days was the one who was taking care of everything about the house. So she's the one who's going in to take care of the wood. Doesn't apply nowadays. Nowadays, Shalom Bayit takes the most important precedence. That's for sure. Okay, next, Mishnah. Again, dealing with exceptions to the rule of Muktzah. B'shamayom and B'shamay say, Ma'avirin mi'ala shulchan. Now, those tables, they'd have a frame to the table, and then you'd have a plank that you'd put on top of the table, top of the frame, sort of a platter where you'd put stuff. So the Mishnah says, B'shamay say, Ma'avirin mi'ala shulchan atzamos uklipin. If somebody ate meat and there's a leftover bone, somebody ate a pomegranate and there's a leftover peel, B'shamay say, you can go to the table, take the bones, take the peels off with your hand. You don't have to do it indirectly, like we learned about yesterday. You could do it directly with your hands and take it off the table. B'shamay say, you shouldn't do it directly. B'shamay say, you can take the board that everything is on, right, the plank that's put on top of the frame, umenara, and then just shake things off. So in other words, it sounds like going to B'shamay, it's not muktzah. You can move it. According to Beisil, it's muktzah, so it would have to be tiltum and atzad, indirect movement. Next law, that's talking about peels and bones. What about somebody ate bread and left some crumbs on the table? Ma'avirin milufnei ha'shulchan, you can take off of the table directly. Piruin pachos mikazayis, crumbs that are smaller than an olive worth. Seir shalafunim, the peels of peas. Seir adashim, the peels of lentils. Why can you move it directly and here you don't have an argument? All these things are food for the animals. You have a cat as a pet, you have a goat outside, you have a cow. You can always give these things to those animals. So therefore, it's not muktzah. Now we get into an issue which is a very big issue, and that is the malacha of mefarek. Again, it's part of cleaning the table. In the Mishkan, they had to prepare dyes. Part of preparing the dye was to grow indigo plant, then harvest the indigo plant, and then to put pressure on the stalks of the indigo to push out the little kernels from the stalks. So they would have to thresh. So when you put pressure, you have an animal stepping on a plant to squeeze the little seeds out from the stalk. Basically, you have something which was internal. By putting pressure, you're squeezing the internal thing out. So it's similar to taking an olive, because when you squeeze an olive, what you're doing is you're taking the liquid that's in the olive and you're squeezing it out. So it's sort of like squeezing the kernel out from the chaff that's surrounding it. So this malach hadash has a tolada called mifareik. Included in mifareik is schita. Schita is to squeeze liquids out of the solid that they were absorbed into. So that creates a problem with using a sponge. So you use a sponge, the sponge fills in with liquid. Then when you put pressure on the sponge, you're squeezing liquid out. It would be the malacha of dash, or more precisely, mifareik, which is a tolada of dash. Let's say you have a sponge and you want to clean the table. So sfog, you have a sponge. Im yesh lo or beis achiza, if there's a handle to the sponge of leather. So then, mekanchin bo, you can use the sponge to clean the table. Your hand is not on the sponge, your hand is on the handle. So you pull the handle back and forth across the table. There's no guarantee that liquid's going to be squeezed out. However, im lav, if there's no handle to the sponge, so now to use the sponge means your hand is on the sponge. If your hand is on the sponge and you sweep the table with the sponge, You're going to be absorbing liquid into the sponge and then squeezing liquid out of the sponge. Then you're not allowed to clean the table with the sponge. Whether it has a handle or not, nitel b'Shabbos. You're allowed to move the sponge on Shabbos because it's considered a utensil. As a utensil, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. However, it's not muktza. The eino mekabel tuma, it doesn't have the ability to become impure because there is the law of becoming impure, utensil becoming impure, deals with certain types of utensils. A utensil made out of metal or wood or leather or sackcloth or a garment, not about a sponge. All right, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Talking about cleaning a table off of the peels and of the bones. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, we have a different version. Anu ein lanu elo beis shamay k'Rabbi Yehuda. Our version of the text of the Mishnah is that beis shamay are like Rabbi Yehuda, who's strict with mukta, and they're the ones who say you have to lift the platform of the table off of its frame and shake everything off. Beis Hillel are k'Rabbi Shimon. Beis Hillel are the lenient ones, and they're the ones who say you can go with your hands and take the peels. It's not considered mukta. Then the Mishnah said, ma'avir milfnei ha'shulchan pirun. You can take off crumbs because you can give it to the animals. This is a proof to Rabbi Yochanan, that if you have crumbs, even if they're smaller than an olive worth, you're not allowed to destroy them. That's why you still have to move them, give them to the animals, and not just destroy them. Seir shalafunim, the peels of peas, says the Gemara Mani, who is this view? Who says you can move it? Rabbi Shimon, who's lenient on mukta. As if you're very strict on mukta, like Rabbi Yehuda, you would assume that the peels of peas are mukta, because when you start off with the pea, you're thinking about human consumption. You got the pea out, you ate the pea, now you're left with the peel would be something like, which is nolad. It's like a new thing now for the animals. It's not how you started. It should be mukta, based on Rabbi Yehuda's extreme views of mukta. So if you're going to say that the Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Shimon, Eima Seifa, then you have a problem with the law about a sponge. The Mishnah says, Sfog, if you have a sponge, if it has a handle, you can clean the table with it. Vimlav, if it doesn't have a handle, in Makan Chimbo, you can't clean the table with it. Asan Rabbi Yehuda, that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Davar Shein HaMiskavin Aser, that if it doesn't have a handle, you wouldn't be allowed to clean the table with it. Why? Because if you clean the table with a sponge with no handle, the sponge will absorb liquid, and since you are putting your pressure on the sponge itself, you're going to be squeezing out liquid. Now, one second. Are you trying to squeeze out liquid? Do you want to squeeze out liquid? It's davar sheino miskaven. Something you have no intention for. Normally, davar sheino mitkaven mutar. If you don't have intention for something, it's permitted. But apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not. And this is only the view of Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not allowed. Says the Gemara, this is worse than davar sheino mitkaven, because this is guaranteed. But ha, afilu Rabbi Shimon moda. In this case, even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's not allowed. Abaye and Rava dami tarvayu. Abaye and Rava both taught. Mother Rabbi Shimon b'sekreishi v'lo yamos. Rabbi Shimon agrees that when you do something which you know is going to happen, then you're intending for it. You can't say, I'm going to give my child the head of the chicken by cutting off the head of the chicken, but I'm not trying to make the chicken die. You're making the chicken die by cutting off the head of the chicken. So the same thing is over here. B'sekreishi v'lo yamos. Everybody agrees. Hani garina de tamri armaisa. The seeds of Aramean dates. So Rashi says the Aramean dates aren't so good, and even the dates themselves are given to the animals. So therefore, Charlotte Teltolinu, the seeds you're allowed to carry around on Shabbos. Well, Vachazin Agav Iman, just like the seeds, their mother, the date was permitted to the animals. That was the purpose of it. The seeds are also now animal food. However, the Parsiasa, the seeds of the Persian dates are very good. So those dates are for people. So now if a person ate it, now he's left with the seed. Now Aser, now you're not allowed to move it because it's Muktza. Yeah, question.
What is the proper way to eat a peanut? Peanut
oh, we pass and you're allowed to.
You're
allowed to yeah.
Shell, you're not eating Muktza, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, question.
The breadcrumbs, no more than kazayim.
Correct, small breadcrumbs.
But does it come out?
It could combine, yes. David is asking, can you put together small breadcrumbs to combine to a kazayit? Yes. Now, again, the seeds of the Persian dates, aser, after you ate the date, the seed is muktzah. However, what was the solution? Shmuel metaltlu agav rifta. Shmuel used to carry it on bread. Shmuel etamei, and it's not considered disrespecting the bread. Namar Shmuel, Shmuel used to say, osa adam kol tzarko bapas. A person can do any of his needs with his bread. Rabba metaltlu agav lukana demaya. Rabba would carry it through a pitcher of water. Eat the date and then spit the date into the pitcher, and then you can carry it through carrying the pitcher. And Rav Huna, Brother of Yeshua, Avlu Graf Shalrei. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, he would eat the dates and then spit it out, and then eat the next date and spit it out in the same spot. So by piling up all the dates, it's like a chunk of toilet. It's like a big toilet. It's like a lot of excrement. And there, the rabbis never created a prohibition of muktzah, of moving that around. Rav Ashi said to Amemar, can you choose to make graf shel rei? So he didn't like this solution. Another solution, Rav Zeira Zarek Luhu Belishni. Rav Zeira used to eat the date, and then when he had the date in his tongue, he used to throw it with his tongue off of the table. Rav Papa Zarek Luhu Achori Amita. Rav Papa used to eat the date on the couch, and then throw the date seed behind the couch. Amr Olav Rav Schayer ben Afkulis. They say about Rav Schayer ben Afkulis, Shayimav Sirpana Vachori Amita. He used to turn his face behind the couch when he was eating the zarkan and throw the dates over there. Hajan Alach. Throw the date seeds over there. Hajan Alach Noto Adam Espino Bez Hashem Yisbarach V'Hadarach Alon. All right, let's start now the next parak, parak Chavis. We know that on Shabbos, one of the laws that are rabbinic laws is that you shouldn't work too hard on Shabbos. Tircha Yaseira, too much strain, too much effort, is not allowed on Shabbos. What happens if there's stress? The wine barrel broke. A lot of loss now. A lot of wine's going to spill. So as we saw, the sages would say, okay, what can you do? You're going to lose wine, because we don't want you to now turn your Shabbos into running back and forth with every possible container to save every drop of wine that you can. So Chavish Shenishbra, a barrel that has wine in it that breaks. Matzili Yemenu Muslim Sholosh Sudos. You can save out of the barrel food for 3 meals. You can go take many utensils and fill them with wine, enough for 3 meals. You can even tell other people, Bo Batzu Lachem, you guys come save food for yourselves. You spoke, but you can't use a sponge to sponge up the wine, because again, we're worried with sponging that people might squeeze the liquid out deliberately, and that would be a tolada, or a form of sochet. In Sochtenes Aperos, you're not allowed to squeeze fruits on Shabbos, lotzemed mashkin, to get liquid out of them, because that's a form of the malacha of dash. Now, because you're not allowed to squeeze, let's say, the oranges, to get the orange juice out of the orange, im yotzu me'atzman, if you have a pile of oranges, and the pressure of oranges on top of each other is causing some of them to dribble out drops, so this is called mashkin shezavu, liquids that are just flowing out on their own. Asurin, you're not allowed to drink them on Shabbos. Because if you drink that liquid on Shabbos, it might lead you to start deciding to make orange juice. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, Imla Ochlin, if you piled up fruits because you're planning to eat it, you cut up the watermelon because you want to eat the watermelon. And now all the watermelons on top of each other because you want to eat it, and some of it is putting pressure on others, and there's some watermelon juice on the bottom. Ayotzim en mutter, what comes out on the bottom, you're allowed to drink. Imla Mashkin, if you like juicing, and you wanted to juice it. You put aside these fruits to make juice out of them. Then ayotze mehen, and even if the juice came out of them on its own, us, you're not allowed to drink that juice. Chalos dvash, if you have a honeycomb. So a honeycomb has honey absorbed in the wax of the honeycomb. So to get that honey out is sort of like getting a kernel out of a husk. That's sochet, to squeeze the honeycomb and smash the wax and then get the honey out. That's schita. That's the same thing. That's dash. So chalas dvash, and you have honeycombs. Shiriska me'erev Shabbos, if you slash them and crush them on Friday. And now v'yatsu me'atzma, now on Shabbos the honey keeps coming out. Asurin, that honey is not allowed, because we're worried that the honey that came out on Shabbos, if you can have that, you're now going to go and you're going to start crushing honeycombs to get honey out on Shabbos. Over Belezer Matir, Belezer says if you started it before, started on Friday, and it's coming out still on Shabbos, that's already permitted. Yeah, question. Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to that. Izzy's going to ask about lemons into food. We'll get to that. Bezrat Hashem. That's the big question. You want to have some lemon juice on your fish, on your fried fish. It's allowed. It's allowed. Because we'll see in the Gemara that the things that are not allowed are really, the biblical things are really only grapes and olives. Grapes and olives. Because grapes and olives, the great majority of the grapes and olives, you can squeeze a lemon into fish, yeah.
But the bit that falls on the fish, you can't pull it out.
That's true. That would be borer, right. All right, Tanu Amudin Abraisa.
What if you just want the juice? You don't want, you know.
Oh, that maybe not. That you can't. So Tanu Amudin Abraisa. Lo yisfug b'yayin. You shouldn't sponge up wine, lo yitapeach b'shemen, nor sponge up with your hand oil, to then, you know, clean it off on the edges of a utensil to try to save the wine and oil. Because you shouldn't be doing things the way you do it during the week. Tanu Rabbanan lived in a braisa, again dealing with too much effort. If your grain scatters in your courtyard, malaket al yad al yad, you can collect a little bit and a little bit for ochel and eat it. You shouldn't collect it into a basket to store it, lo l'tocha kupa, nor into a box. Again, shlo yaseh k'derech shu'osa b'chol, so that you don't do things the way you do it during the week, with a lot of effort, tircha d'chol, that's not allowed. Now getting into the squeezing of fruits. We had an argument in the Mishnah. Tanakama says, ein soch t'nes ha'peros lo'otzim en mashkin, you now let us squeeze fruits to get liquids out of them. If the liquids are coming out on their own, the liquids are prohibited. Rabbi Yehuda said, if the fruits were put aside for eating, the liquids that come out on their own are permitted. The fruits that were put aside for juices, the liquids that come out are prohibited. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Mar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda's name is Shmuel. Moda Yeridu L'Chacham B'Zeisim Anavim. Rabbi Yehuda, who is Mr. Lenient in regards to the juices that come out on their own, agrees to the Chacham to be strict if it's juices coming out of on their own from olives and grapes. Because olives and grapes primarily are not for eating. Most olives are to make olive oil. Most grapes are to make wine. So since olives and grapes are for liquids, so then even Rabbi Yehuda would say, even though this guy's planning to eat it, but if some of the liquid's going to come out, if we would allow him to consume that liquid, he might say, oh, let me go make grape juice. Let me go make olive oil. So there, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the liquids that come out are not allowed. My time of why? Came to l'schita ninu. Since the goal of olives and grapes is for the squeezing out of their liquids, yoyv daite. Person might pay attention to the liquid. Once the liquid starts coming out, say, you know what? Let me use this also, like I use most olives for olive oil. Ulam Arav, Ula said the name of Rav, Cholokai Rabbi Yehuda is lenient with the liquids that come out on their own from the fruits that are put aside for eating, is lenient, even with olives and grapes. Because since the olives and grapes are these that this guy put aside, he's using them for eating, so therefore the liquid that comes out, we're not worried, is going to lead him to now squeezing other olives and grapes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan's version was, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peiros. Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to other fruits. If you put them aside for eating, the liquids that come out are permitted. Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'zeisim v'anavim. Even Rabbi Yehuda would permit you to even have the liquids that come out of olives and grapes. Halacha is not like him in regards to the liquids that come out of olives and grapes. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabba said the name of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel. Moda hay Rabbi Yehuda l'chacham b'zeisim anavim. The Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel says, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the sages in regards to olives and grapes, that olives and grapes put aside, even for food, the liquid that comes out of them on Shabbos is prohibited. Moda l'chacham Rabbi Yehuda, l'chacham agreed Rabbi Yehuda, that bishar peiros, when you have other fruits, not olives and grapes, if you put them aside for food, let's say a watermelon, you cut up watermelon on Friday because you're planning to eat the watermelon on Friday night, the liquid that comes out on Shabbos is permitted. So point of sex, only Rabbi Rabba, Elba my pligi. So if they all agree about olives and grapes, and they all agree about anything other than olives and grapes, where is there an argument? So he said, say Mamalei, he said to Lechi Tishkach, when you go figure it out. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak figured it out. Mestabra betutim v'rimonim pligi. The argument is about berries and pomegranates. In other words, most, at least in those days, maybe today it's different with oranges, but at least in those days, most fruits were not for juice. Most fruits were to eat them. That was the norm. So apples were eaten, and pears were eaten, peaches were eaten, mangoes were eaten, oranges were eaten. That's what most of the fruits were used for. So if somebody puts a fruit aside for eating, most of it is used for eating, some liquid comes out. We're not worried, oh, if we let him have that liquid, now he's going to start juicing. No, he's going to eat it. Plants eat it. Mostly it's used for eating. So everybody agrees you're allowed to have those juices. Olives and grapes, the overwhelming majority of the olives and grapes are for the liquid. It's for the olive oil and for the wine. Most people don't eat olives. Even today, most people don't eat grapes. Most of the grapes are for wine. Most of the olives are for olive oil. So those things, everybody agrees, if you put it aside even for eating, if some juice comes out, we're worried. Somebody's going to now say, oh, I had some olive oil. Let me make some more. Some wine, some grape juice. Let me make some more. And you might have a malacha taking place. The issue comes up with berries and pomegranates. I guess palm wasn't the first brand to make pomegranate juice. Back in the Gemara, there was a lot. Pomegranate juice was popular. So pomegranates and berries, it's popular to have juice out of them, but it's not the majority that have juice out of them. So now you get into this issue. It's more than apples and oranges and grapefruits that make it into juice, but it's not as popular to make it as juice like olives and grapes. So that's where you have the argument. That's what Nachman and the Bar Yitzchak said. To start with, the argument makes sense, but tutum v'rimonim, in terms of berries and pomegranates that somebody put aside for food and now liquid spilled out of them on Shabbos. Pligi, that's the argument. According to the Chachamim, put it aside for food, but since a lot of people make juices out of them, therefore we do have a decree on this liquid that comes out. According to Yehuda, since many people eat it and he put it aside for food, we're not worried that if we let him have these liquids, he's now going to start squeezing the pomegranates and the berries. The time, and we have a brayta that actually says that. Zaysim, when you have olives, shemashach men shemen, and olive oil is coming out of them on Shabbos, or on oven grapes, shemashach men yayin, that grape juice is coming out of it on Shabbos. Hichnisan, if you put it aside, bein leochel, whether you put it aside for eating it, bein lemashkin, or to get liquids out of it, yotzmen aser, this liquid that comes out is prohibited because we're worried if we'd allow you to have this liquid, you might now squeeze it. However, tutin, you have berries, shemashach men mayim, that liquid comes out of them, limonim, or pomegranates, shemashach men yayim, that the juice comes out of them, v'chnisan la'ochlan, and you had put it aside for eating, ayotzimen mutter, the liquids that come out are permitted, the mashkin, if you had put it aside for juices, with the stam, you didn't have any intention, ayotzimen aser, the liquids that come out are prohibited, because that might, if we would allow you to have those liquids, you might squeeze them, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham say, since it's not so universal to squeeze berries and pomegranates, in la'ochlin, whether you had put them aside for eating, and even la'mashkin, even if you put them aside for juices, ayotze mehen, I'm sorry, since it is normal, to use them for a juice, therefore, chacham omer and bein la'ochlin, whether you put it aside for food, bein la'mashkin, or you put it aside for a juice, ayotze mehen, aser. If the liquid comes out, it is prohibited to enjoy it on Shabbos. You have to wait till after Shabbos because we're worried if we would allow you to have the liquid on Shabbos, that might lead you to squeeze the berries and the pomegranates. Ad kan daf kuf mem gimel.